Welcome to this session. We are going to have three segments. I'm going to talk about some Nokia technologies which you may not have automatically considered while building some applications. And then I'll have two other speakers coming in, one providing the Nokia perspective, what we had to think about when we had to mobilize our workforce. And we have one of our customers and partners coming in to talk about how they thought about Wortel in terms of mobilizing their workforce. Hopefully together you will see both in terms of technology some interesting insights as to what you can use, as well as some drivers about when you're mobilizing both a large and a smaller company. I'm Purnima Kochikar. I head business for Nokia. Me and my team have the charter to make our portfolio of devices the best for business users. So that's what I do. So very quickly, a little bit of a preview. For more details, I would encourage you to go to our booth, which is down at the exhibit halls, to look at these devices. February 11th, 2011, we announced a partnership with Microsoft, as you well know, and all our future smart devices are based on the Windows Phone platform. Four devices are out in the market right now, starting from the affordable 610 all the way to the premier Lumia 900. Those of you who have opened up your backpacks and found a tile would know that you can go and win a Lumia 900 in our booth. But more importantly, I think these devices, we truly believe, are the best portfolio for work. We'll tell you a little bit why. I suppose everyone knows that these devices, as with any other Windows phone, come with a full office on it. Just so that you understand what it means for somebody like myself, I constantly get stuck in airports. Planes are delayed, etc. I travel a lot for work. And right now, my work doesn't have to be delayed. I don't know how many of you have truly seen full office working on a mobile device. You have round-trip efficacy. You can get all your comments in on Word documents. You can see PowerPoint with full transitions. And when I see an Excel spreadsheet, I not only see the data, I also see the graphics. So not only you can do everything that you do on work, but there's also the communication. No longer do I have to worry about trying to figure out which is the conference ID and PIN, etc., with Link. And Kale will talk about how we are deploying Link across Nokia. There's one other piece that I want to point out here, besides all the wonderful things that are coming in, is the Nokia Expert Center. If you go in and you look at expertcenter.nokia.com, that's a single resource for any one of you who's looking to deploy Windows phones or Lumia in your companies. You will be able to find experts giving you advice in terms of the kinds of things they've done. All you have to register, it comes to you for free for registering. And there will be experts who will answer your questions in terms of everything from what it takes to deploy, what are the questions you've come across, technical or deployment-related or operational or business-wise. So a great portfolio and the Expert Center together will help you when it comes to deploying. But is that all? Is that all? When I talk about deploying mobile phones and mobility in business, there are a couple of things I've been pointing out to our partners. One of them is, of course, the live tile. Think about what it does when the real estate on your device is the most expensive real estate, as I call it. Everybody is staring at it. But for the most phones today, that real estate gives you no information. You look at it, it's static. Not in the Windows phone. The tiles are live, which means your information gets updated so you can reach your decisions faster. Take, for example, that you are, I'm traveling now. Just Yurki, who was here setting up the laptop, he has a PO for me that I need to approve. I don't know that unless I have an approval app that the tile changes color to tell me I need to approve something. I really encourage you, when you think about your apps for your business devices, to really think about what live tiles can do. But beyond that, what else? The 808 PureView is our top-of-the-line Symbian device. Now, you might be telling me, why am I talking about Symbian devices at Microsoft TechEd? Because we're really proud of what we've done with the imaging technology. This is a 41-megapixel camera. and this is what it does for you. You see this? This is a picture taken from down when somebody is climbing. That's a rope, and you can zoom in. Look at the level of detail. What does it mean for you and me? I was recently talking to a company called EvidencePix. EvidencePix is a company that actually takes pictures as evidence for a lot of different verticals like insurance, like medical, like transportation, like, you know, if you meet with an accident. They use geofencing, geotagging, as well as date stamps, et cetera, to say that the picture that you have taken is actually real. So if you are an insurance appraiser and you're going out there to appraise an issue that is out there and there is damage and the pictures you take, they can insure it. They add security to that picture. This is the kind of detail they can get. They've just been approached by a very large utility company that has meters. And you think of it, it could be even a cellular provider that have meters across in lots of remote places. And they would love for it when their technicians go there to be able to take and get the ID of that meter. That's the problem they came to me with. Can we get an ID of that meter which they can send in? And when they send in that ID, then people can figure out what the issues are, and they can figure out what the issues with that equipment is and can send back. Pictures as part of business process automation is going to become more and more relevant. Another example, there is a company that does similar with picture notification. They are mandating now that all the people who go out there and do, equipment repair, because they have large equipments which are deployed all over the place, they actually take the picture to show with the date stamp that work has already been done. Think of insurance. I just met with an accident recently. Fortunately, nothing happened, but my car was damaged. There's all back and forth going on, whether the damage is real or not, knowing that everybody can manipulate pictures today. This is the kind of technology that you can use. And I really encourage you to think about what could you do if you have a camera. Let me take a simpler example. I know I've given you very big vertical examples. I use the camera all the time, if I'm in conferences like this, to take pictures of slides and send it to my team. We use it all the time to take pictures of whiteboards. And with Microsoft OneNote, my global virtual team can stay in touch. So a camera as an input for business decision making, whether you get your virtual team working together or all the way sophisticated to get business process automation, is key. And I think using camera as one of your things would be something to think about. Beyond that, as I told you, different kinds of inputs is one component. Context is another. More and more business process applications like CRM are using context. I was just at Sapphire a couple of months ago, and SAP was showing me how their CRM application, when a sales guy lands in a place and logs into the CRM application, he can see only those prospects and customers who are in that geography. You no longer need to go and type in to find out what it is. You don't have to do a search anymore, because your phone knows where you are. Now, the great news, as we recently announced, is that all the data that we have, Nokia, of course, has among the best mapping technologies in the world. We acquired a company called Navtech, so we have all the data that supports this. We also have Nokia Drive, which is turn-by-turn navigation, voice-supported in 150 countries with, I think, 50 languages supported. To that, we add Nokia Transport. Now, let me tie in the story from where I started with live tiles to business decision making to transport. Nokia Transport is a public transportation application which will tell you where your buses are or your trains are and whether they are, I'm sorry, I got there too fast, whether it is how you can get there. Now, we are also looking at our commute application. What does Nokia do? Your live tile will tell you if you set a route by the change of color, if you have to leave early. Think about that. Because our location and commerce team sat down and asked the question, what does it take for somebody to use our navigation software every day? Most of the time you use navigation only when you're in a foreign place. Every day if you're going to the same place to work, why would you need it? Transportation and commute. If you're driving or you're taking somebody else's transportation, you need to know whether it's on time or late. What if you know you land somewhere and you find out that it is late? How do you get an alternative route? The good news is all of this technology will be available across Windows Phone, starting with Windows Phone 8. And the Maps controllers will be available for any one of you who's building apps to be able to use location and context information into your applications. This is our augmented reality app. You can have a street view, or you can have information in that view. This is an application which ties in all the data that I showed you before into something called CityLens. So let's start with where I started. You have a live tile that is showing you that you are running late, so you need to leave early. You do. You're in a foreign place. You've got turn-by-turn navigation that gets you to your meeting. When you reach there, you open up your PowerPoint presentation, which is printed out, and you realize that your printouts have a mistake. You have a competitor's logo in there. You're going to another meeting. You can use this to find out where is the closest copy center. You can use this to find out where to take your client out for dinner. You can use this to find out what else is nearby. So CityLens gives you, from an augmented reality perspective, you raise it in a place, it tells you the information there. Moving forward, we are allowing this to be personalized. We are letting people add their own pictures to the map, add their own locations, give their own recommendations. These are typically data or things we were considered cool and sidebar applications. What excites me is that today, whether it is voice input, whether it is camera as an input mechanism, whether it is context for business decision making, whether it's augmented reality to help you get your work done faster, are becoming core to business application and ways in which IT can improve the lives of their own constituents. I was speaking to the IT team, the CIO and his team of a very large consulting company recently. And they were writing an app. What do consultants do? They register time and material. So they're writing an app, a mobile app, so that people can put in time and material, which is great. You know, not very exciting, but very, very valuable. But then they started talking to their consultants and said, what really matters to you when you're on the road? And what they found is that the consultant said, typically, I want to know whether my plane is on time. I want to be able to check into my plane. I want to know what the weather is there. Once I get there, I want to know how I can get to the rental car place or, you know, find my way to my hotel. They did simple mashups from publicly available data. They added LinkedIn information to be able to get information about the customer that the consultant is going to go talk to and find out if there are other people in that organization who they can meet. That app is now going viral. There are more people demanding that they have this application being written. So to me, that's the exciting part. The exciting part is all of a sudden business processes are moving from being what we call systems of record, which is about data and analysis and reports, to being systems of engagement, about people and getting their work done faster, helping them get better, finding information, and interacting with each other. Last couple of things. Besides the fact that there is cool technologies that can help make your apps significantly better, these are better produced devices. Not only can I talk, the polycarbonate back, which I would really ask you to go touch, feel, see it, is the same material that is used in, you know, NASA space centers, etc. It's really, really robust. But that's not all. What's inside also matters. I talked to a company called PortNexus. They create a dictation app, which is cloud-based. It's actually a very cool thing. If it's one of the priority partners for AT&T. I'm from the U.S. Don't know if it's available here or not. In that app, if you look at it, it allows doctors and insurance agents and lawyers to dictate. It has the dictionaries inside, which allows people to know whether the dictation is real or not. It has a cloud-based service that can actually review and edit and authenticate and make sure that it is the right thing and send it in. Changes cycle time significantly. The CEO of PortNexus has gone on record to say his app works best with Nokia because of the voice capabilities, the speaker capabilities that are there. And this is somebody whose app works across all competing platforms, is a preferred partner for AT&T. And it's these kinds of things, voice as an input, cameras, the input mechanisms will evolve, and the ability to use your camera, whether it's an input mechanism or an augmented reality thing, will grow. Finally, a couple of things. From space, you know, spacecraft material to space age technologies. This is the kind of stuff we are doing with our, you see this? That's what would happen regular. That's our nanotechnology research lab that is doing some interesting cool stuff to make sure that your devices can actually resist if water is falling on it. The water will actually bounce off. And finally, a little video.
Well, here we are again in the hardware validation lab. In response to a video that is out on YouTube concerning how tough the glass is on the toughest phone in the world, we're going to show you exactly how tough the glass is here on the Nokia Lumia 900. So in order to do that, we've prepared some nails and a hammer. And you might ask yourself what we're going to do with these. Well, check it out. The glass is quite tough here. We can take a nail and we can start banging around the screen here and nothing's going to happen. Bang, bang, all over the screen. No cracks, glass is still intact. In fact, we can actually use this as a hammer itself. Displays perfectly fine where that nail is in there. So as you can see, the glass is very, very tough on the phone and will survive pretty much anything. Excuse me. Hello?
I don't recommend doing this at home. Nevertheless, what it is they're beautifully designed devices with world-class material. But there's as much on the outside as there is on the inside. When you buy it for your team or your companies, you can know that you have something reliable that doesn't break when it falls. You know, I'm a klutz. I drop my device all the time. And you can see it. It works perfectly fine. But there is cool technology that you can use to make your apps better. With that, I hand over to Kalle, who will talk to you about how he has been working about mobilizing the Nokia workforce.
Okay, thanks, Purnima. So good afternoon, everyone. My name is Kalle Lehtinen, heading the enterprise mobility within Nokia IT and Information Capability Management. Topics that I want to cover today, a little bit about my personal background. So I've been kind of around with the company for quite many years. Then starting with the Nokia IT environment. So how we actually provide these IT services to our end users. We did a survey earlier this year. So said quite a large number of Nokia employees to just to understand what matters to them, so what is important from mobilizing different use cases. Then going a bit more into details, how we actually now set up Lumia, and then really from the end user employee point of view. So setting it up, how do we handle the support, and then some examples of the experiences that are now possible with the new Windows phones. And then towards the end, I'll show you a few examples of mobility concept that we're currently working on. So that's the content of it. I'm an engineer. I've been with the company 20 years, a long time. But luckily, there have been kind of very many interesting roles. So I have basically a software degree. I've been working with software R&D, running that, working with the processes, methods, tools, different R&D solutions like test networks, software updates on mobile devices, working with technology management, and now more recently with this mobile experience with the IT. So a bit of a background of different angles and how we actually can help the employees be productive with these mobile solutions. About Nokia environment. So we have around 55,000 Windows PCs in the company. And we've been using laptops for quite many years, already in the kind of early days. We do have some Linux machines, mainly for our R&D folks. We do have Macs in-house. For some reason, designers prefer to use those. And regarding the mobile devices, so we have roughly 20,000 employees that are accessing our Exchange backend on a constant basis with different mobile devices. And no surprise to you, so of course our employees, we are using different devices. And not just Nokia devices, also competitive devices. So that's about our kind of different devices. We are around the globe, so we have distributed R&D, sales, marketing, factories, around in 73 different countries. So how do we actually then support all of this? So this kind of breadth of different devices around the globe. Already back in 2008, we started working very closely with MS Online and started transitioning our internally hosted Exchange backends to MS hosted environment. And nowadays, basically, we gradually started moving live meetings, SharePoints, those environments to the MS hosted environment. And now we have centralized Exchange, SharePoint, and Link services running by Microsoft Online. And through the presentation, you will actually kind of learn how to actually make our lives, from IT point of view, a bit easier. I mentioned that we did a survey earlier this year, and out of those 20,000 employees that are accessing our IT systems with their mobile devices, so we actually sent out this questionnaire to half of them, and more than 50% answered. So quite extensive, and actually when discussing with our consumer intelligence teams that are doing this kind of surveys towards our real consumers, so it's kind of an amazing response rate. And of course, the kind of people want to spend time with their devices. So productivity, easy of use, easy of setup are very important aspects of their kind of environment. And we asked them a question that what type of use cases would be beneficial for you to be mobilized? And this is now the kind of top 10 of those use cases and more greener on the scale, the kind of more likelihood it would be kind of useful for the end user's point of view. And there are kind of pretty simple things there on the top. So accessing corporate phone book, getting the contact information for your colleagues, shielding online meetings, accessing your colleagues' calendars, making phone calls with Link, accessing internet access. Then, of course, location is a kind of a strategic area for Nokia to kind of work on. And we have also kind of internally started to work on the internal or kind of indoor positioning, and therefore asked kind of questions regarding would it be kind of useful use cases to start mobilizing. So how to kind of find the nearest meeting room and kind of around those lines, and they are kind of pretty high still on the priority. Then looking at kind of time span, so usually it's around kind of small moments. You have a few minutes to spare. So you're commuting, waiting for your PC to boot, you're standing in a line, waiting for a coffee to be prepared, and you have a few minutes to spare. And this is actually now the kind of different occasions that we ask that how do our own employees feel that would it be useful, and how many minutes or kind of longer periods would be willing to use a mobile device. And usually in the evening, kicking back at home or at the hotel, so it's kind of a longer time periods. But then when traveling, commuting, of course, it kind of gets smaller and smaller. But all in all, so it is something that you have always with you. And If you have a few minutes to spare, so it would be kind of great to kind of mobilize these use cases from the previous slide. And we have towards the end of the session some example concepts that we are currently working on. Then regarding the setup. So like I said, we have MSO hosted environment. And this is now an example screenshot from a mobile link client. And once you have downloaded the client from Windows Phone Store, so you need to type in a few pretty basic information. So username or email, password, domain, that's it. And a similar manner for the Outlook, for the SharePoint, for the first time, and that's it. The backend does the rest. So there's auto-discovery and all the kind of tedious setting up servers, ports, stuff like that, that used to be the case still a few years back, is now history. So it is very simple from an user point of view. Of course, at the same time, we are enforcing device password and lock through Active Sync. So that's kind of giving the added security that is needed once we are starting to get the corporate email, for example, on your mobile device. Then from support perspective, so I run a small team that is actually supporting these devices. Now we have statistics to show that actually the number of support cases related to these services has been decreasing once we have been deploying Lumias for our fleet. Of course, at the same time, and already earlier, we've been kind of building extensive self-support, internet pages, in the past wiki pages, and different knowledge management bases so that we actually can share the best practices, frequently asked questions, and like. And we also have a pretty active community. So not, of course, internally. We are using social media to kind of share the kind of hints and tips and kind of latest learnings, but also externally, so the kind of different Windows Phone forums, so all people active there and kind of grabbing the information, so what is available, what is the kind of latest on the kind of updates that are being rolled out. Then we also have a concept called Backstage. So that is our internal app store. So we actually started this already in the Symbian days. So that is kind of area for us to share the alpha and beta level applications. And the examples that Purnima showed, for example, the transport, of course, started with kind of alpha and beta labs. So we kind of internally started using within our own employees and try it out and kind of finalize the releases. Then a bit more on the actual office experience. So once you got it set up, and like I said, so pretty easy from end user point of view, just kind of need to know your email address, domain, password, that's about it. So then the kind of email experience, I'm not sure how many of you actually are using Windows phones currently, but it is pretty smooth. So the kind of things that you've been kind of used to have on a kind of PC world are now available on the mobile device. So the contacts, calendar, tasks is being synchronized through ActiveSync to your mobile device. You can see kind of discussion threads on the email client. We can, like I said already earlier, so enforce the security through ActiveSync protocol. We have the availability of using restrictions on the kind of on a policy level, so IRM policies for the documents and sharing those. We are able to do a remote wipes on the devices, so from the admin console through SCCM. Of course, we also have for the end user kind of a web-based service to kind of do it as a self-service. If you kind of get a lost device or kind of somehow kind of lose it, so you can actually wipe the device on your own. And of course, what is really nice is that this is now fully integrated, seamlessly integrated with the Office experience you've been kind of used to have on PCs. So Word, Excel, PowerPoint, like Purnima already said, so they work seamlessly on the kind of together with the email. Then kind of continuing on that note, we are able now to share through the Office Hub, for example, not just the kind of documents through the email, but just links. We are using SharePoint as a kind of a SharePoint science on our internal storage, and we can just share the link as an email. You click it, it automatically updates the Office app on your mobile device, and it's going to be there going forward. So it actually stores it, and you can then get back to it directly. No need to kind of get back to your email to kind of get the link. You can have multiple locations through this Office Hub. And like already pointed out also by Purnima, we are now heavy users of OneNote. And using it to kind of share the meeting agendas, meeting minutes, and while you want to go. So not having your laptop with you, kind of attending a meeting, so you can actually check for the latest changes, and it kind of syncs up the stuff from the SharePoint on your mobile device. So that's pretty handy, and people seem to like it quite a bit, at least internally in Nokia. Then around the unified communication. So I mentioned earlier that we'll be using live meeting, so using that for virtual meetings, conferences, sharing one-to-one between several participants. We have had over the years different voice over IP solutions, both on PC and mobile, so different clients there. We do have still voice conferencing systems on our internal meeting rooms. They are all IP-based, but still own devices with different service providers and some internal voice core network available. And, of course, now what is being possible through the Lync and especially the kind of enterprise voice is that we can actually converge all of this kind of similar experience on a PC and a mobile device. And what is sweet from kind of enterprise point of view and IT point of view is that this will bring significant savings. I'm not able to kind of go on the details of our business case, but trust me, this kind of significant savings that now we can address through this deploying Lync. And we were, of course, working very closely with Microsoft there, so having kind of early releases of the clients and kind of course also pushing our partner a bit, kind of make the solutions even better. But as we speak, so we are rolling it out within the Europe, and then the rest of the world is actually followed. But towards the end of this year, we should have kind of global coverage through the Lync, and of course also the kind of mobile bits in the mobile client. And what is kind of cool with this Lync Mobile, so it's pretty much having the same rich presence that you kind of used to have on a PC side. You can reach your colleagues, friends, and of course not just within the kind of company network, you can use kind of federated contacts through your partners. And you have the same list that you have on your PC. You have kind of same groups there. You can see their availability. You can just click on a person, make a call, make a chat, and so forth. And of course, what is also, now that we are deploying this enterprise voice through Lync, is that once you have a meeting with Lync conferencing details, so you get the calendar invite, the Lync details are there. Once the time is right, and then you are somewhere on the road, for example, so just click on the calendar invite, just kind of with single click you can enter this Lync conference. And what actually happens is that Lync packet will call you back. So again, kind of a great savings opportunity for enterprises. And it just works, so that's the beauty of it. Then regarding our own enterprise mobility concept. So this was more about the kind of how we are now deployed the MS technology on our mobile devices on Nokia Lumias. But of course we are kind of want to kind of develop something more. And again, using these metro concept, live tiles, kind of getting the relevant information available for our employees. And we are working this kind of in Nokia hub concept. So actually we can collect the relevant information from employee or a manager point of view. So like safety kind of approvals, for example, travel expense claims, travel requests. We can push the relevant news information based on your location. So the news from your site, canteen menu, stuff like that. And linking with the kind of rich people hub. So you have kind of availability of the persons through there. So pretty cool stuff. And as a kind of bit more concrete example is the MeetingMate. So at least we in Nokia, we seem to spend too much time on meetings, and somehow we need to make it easier for our employees to kind of join the meetings, find the meeting rooms, and around those experiences, we've been now working on this concept. So you can actually book a meeting room with your mobile device. It is accessing the information on Exchange backend, so the reservation status for a meeting room, the different resources. You can make ad hoc reservations, and of course, going forward, so we are now also working on the indoor positioning. So as we know, for example, from based on the VLAN-based positioning systems, that where you are located, we can find your nearest meeting room. And we can also show on the client the availability of those meeting rooms. So it's kind of now being booked, soon to be released, or is it kind of available. And going forward, of course, we can also show you some guidance how to actually navigate to your closest meeting room. So cool stuff that we are currently working on. And why we actually are doing this? So of course, we want to make sure that our employees are productive, so that they can actually, having these few moments, taking advantage of those around the kind of the day, not just kind of in the office hours, but in the morning, in the evening, so that we can kind of be productive and do this common task quickly and easily, so that when the time is right, we need to focus more on the kind of productive work, what we actually get paid for. So that's the kind of concept that we want to work towards. Thank you. That's about the Nokia IT experiences around taking Lumia into use. And now Luke will go through the Nordics experiences. Yeah,
thank you. I'm glad to walk a bit because it's very cold here. So actually, who of you is a consultant? I want to see some hands. So, okay. And who's using Lumia already? Okay, so that's about the market, so that's good. I want to talk about the what we did on the information, how we optimized our information structure in the organization by using, a standardized platform. But I first start with a very small story about who I am and who the company is. We are Wortel, who's Dutch. Okay, so a lot of people know Wortel. I think the Dutchies will. Wortel is a company based in the Netherlands. And I'm the commercial marketing director of the company. And what we do one thing, and that is projects. So we have a lot of consultants in the company, about 120, and we run projects, 100 of them. Last year we did about 340 projects, so you can imagine that a person is on one or more projects at a time, sometimes one, sometimes five, sometimes 10, and there is a massive amount of information going through all these projects. We do three things: portals like SharePoint, we have a lot of sessions today, unified communications, we talked about Link, and we do your own device, like the workplace environment. So these different kinds of projects, different kinds of people who are running those projects. Well, an average project employee is responsible for three segments. So in our organization, a consultant is responsible for the project, so he needs to deliver information to, she must deliver her knowledge to the project. But from the customer side, she has the responsibility of that, you know, having that connection with the customer. So she must know the information about what kind of contracts the customer has with our company. She must know what kind of contact person information there is with that company, you know, who's responsible for the company or the consumer. And the third thing is planning. It's very important that you plan your work on a very good basis. So we moved our office in 2007 from an old-fashioned office to a new office. And we bought a church. Actually, we get a church from the 1900s, and we did a remodeling. And what we did is we said, well, we start with an office, and we call that a meeting space. So all our employees who are existing doing work at the projects can go to the office, go to the church, and meet each other. So we designed it fully flexible, and we said that, okay, we have an office, and now we need an information structure that is also very flexible. So we implemented CRM systems for, you know, all the customer information, Navision for all project-related information, and we implemented SharePoint for all that project and document-related information, like, you know, project sites, collaboration rooms, etc. So we had all the information in place. We had an office. We had our IT organization running these systems. Then we said in 2007, we said, well, now it's also to give the employee a possibility to choose your own device. So we made a budget, and a consultant can choose the budget and says, well, I want to buy this and that and that, and then go to the company, well, go to my colleague and say, well, this is my list, I want to buy it. And the reason why we did that is that, you know, to be honest, we have a lot of technical guys, and every time a new laptop pops up, suddenly all those old laptops got broken, or they let them drop off the desk, or, you know, some phones got lost, or, you know, all the time it's happening that when new stuff comes, the old things, they got broke. So we said, now you have a budget, and with the budget you can choose. And when the time comes, so you have to stick that with that, with the technology for a few years, for 3 years, and you can, after the 3 years, you can keep it. It's yours. Right now, we see that a lot of laptops and a lot of mobile phones, they're still existing because they want to keep it. After that 3 years or 2.5 or 3 years, they want to keep it because they want to give it to the children, or they want to give it to the family, or, you know, because you really think it as a personal device. In 2011, we did a small calculation, and we had, well, a variety of devices in our company. Of course, a lot of Apples and Androids and Windows phones. In total, 163 phones, 27 people using one or more phone, because you're using one or more phone if you're a developer, or if you're using a mobile phone for your private life, and you're using a business phone. So 27 people using two or more phones. I was attending an event. We go every year on an event, and I was talking with a consultant about it, with a customer, and he said, well, I want to show you something. He pops up his mobile phone. He had an iPhone. He opened Dropbox, and he said, well, I want to show you the information I got from the customer. It's in a proposal, and this is the network diagram, blah, 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 all the technical things. I said, oh, Beck. I said, you're using technology that's called Dropbox? I said, yeah. Okay, and you're synchronizing all that customer-related information through the Dropbox? I said, yeah, because I have multiple phones, I have multiple stations, and I want to know for sure that all the information is on the same place. I said, are you the only one in your department? No. A lot of people in our organization are using those different kinds of technology, depending on the brand name you're using as a phone, because, you know, if you have brand A, then you're looking in the marketplace for apps you're using, and you're using the apps that are in marketplace A, and you go to the app store in B, and then you're using the apps that are in app store B. So I was thinking, you know, I don't mind if they use all the tools, but my concern was more that, whoa, what is happening with all my customer data? Because if you're using that and synchronizing all the information, we were thinking that all the information was stored on a safe place, internally or at our SharePoint environment, but all the information was synchronized through all the mobile phones and was distributed through a lot of applications. We did a small investigation on that. So from that point, we said, okay, we have to push back. We have to have a very good look on our information structure, and we do not want to give, you know, a hold to a consultant, because we want to be very flexible to a consultant, because he has to, you know, he's responsible for his own time. And I cannot stop him using these kinds of products if that helps him to be more productive. So we started a project. Oh, well, they wanted to be remote, very remote. Because I asked a few consultants when we were starting a project, why are you using those kind of software? And they said, well, I just want to be remote. If I go to a customer, I want to have all the information in place from an account point of view, from a project documentation point of view, and from a planning point of view. I had a talk with Microsoft in 2011, and Microsoft had a very big problem and a very small solution. They built a new office at Schiphol Airport for 700 employees, and they implemented 234 parking spaces. So can you imagine what happens there on Monday morning when everybody goes to the office and then the parking spaces are full? So then they have a backup parking space, but you never know where you go there. And the machine tells you if it is full or not, and then you have to turn back and go to the other one. So they designed a very simple solution. It's called an application that talks with the Ski Data, that is that supplier of the pole with the other pole, that tells that the Ski Data database how many parking spaces there are still available. And they built this solution in only 7 hours, and one guy did it. Only one guy built the solution in 7 hours. And then he had tons of meetings about how to get through firewalls and etc. But, you know, the application was built in 7 hours. So with this in mind, we started a new project, and we called it the project-centric information. And I designed a team of employees in the company, all different kinds, like from sales point of view, from consultancy, and we put them in a room and we said, well, we have a very small, well, we have a big problem and I want a small solution, because everybody wants big solutions, but we are a small company, so we want a very small solution. We did a small investigation, and so from the project point of view, we have, you know, people want project documentation, project reporting, project time registration. From a customer point of view, you want information, opportunities, what kind of service contracts are in the customer or has a contract with our company. So a consultant can look into that and can advise a company and says, well, maybe you should buy this or that, because the consultant is the real trusted partner of the customer. And then the third one is the planning, because planning is very important. We said that because we have all those different kind of brands on the mobile phone, we said, well, we cannot build, you know, we cannot support all the different kinds of technology. We want a solution that is, standard, out of the box, already compliant with the technology we are using in-house. So we said, okay, let's choose a platform, and eventually it was the Windows platform. We designed a group, and we gave the group 10 Lumia phones at the time. Actually, it was something else, because it was a pilot, and these phones weren't out yet. But it was a Windows phone, and we gave the project group the phone, and they were very happy about it. Because what we see is after 1 week, you know, your towels, why cannot I put many towels if I want to, you know, why cannot I scroll to the next page, and you're not used to that. So the second week, you get used to the phone, and the third week, they didn't want any other phone. And we gave them a few applications like Microsoft Office and, you know, Dynamics CRM and Microsoft Link to talk about that project account and planning information. That was a success because 10 of the people said, well, you know, I want to switch my phone for this phone because I like the phone and I like working with that phone. Then for us, it was Christmas time. So last year, we bought 120 Lumia phones. And we said, well, you can get your phone under the Christmas tree. Pick it up. Test it. Keep it or drop it. So it's your choice. So come and get it, test it, keep it, or drop it, and keep your own phone. We in the project group said that if 90% of the people kept their phones, we started in phase two in the project and designing a real application for supporting all the consultants. Because if it was a failure, you know, it's not even, then we have to do something else, you know, making very strict regulations about user or customer data, et cetera, et cetera. But we want to be very flexible. So we said, well, if it is a go for 90%, then let's go there. And it was a go, so we designed it, an application for Windows Phone. We call it Insights. It's on beta now with three loops on project, task, and client. So all the tasks that are running, all the tasks that are open on SharePoint, where you're responsible for, that is going through here. All the clients where you're responsible for that will come into this, and all the projects that you are responsible for. And if something changes, the tile changes with it. So if a new task comes up, the tile will change. If I go into a project, you know, you have the documents, the reporting, timesheets, task, and the team that's connected with Microsoft Link, so you can directly link through the application with the other one. I will invite you to the website somewhere in July. It's all going to be Windows Phone and Windows, some new technologies that is coming up. All, you know, joining that link experience on all different kinds of devices. So we really like the link interface, because the link interface, that really helps when a team colleague is popping up and you want to ask him a very small question. So we said, okay, yes, we knew that we gave away the Lumias. We said that, okay, if it is a 90% success, yes, then we are going to build that solution. And now we're building that. But we are a small company, so we're building that and building that and building that, and all new ideas coming up. And eventually, 118 Lumia phones still exist. The other amount got dropped. Still, people are using other phones, and that's very normal, because I think that, you know, when you're a developer, you want to have multiple devices, multiple platforms. And when you're a graphical designer, you really go into some kind of a model and a brand. But only 12 people use two or more phones. So we had 27 people that uses two or more phones. And now we have only 12 people that are using two or more phones. And with that, we succeeded in dropping all the synchronization tools, because we implemented the technology that they directly can connect to the interface and to the systems we have. And for me, it was a success, but we're not there yet. The application is almost finished. And I think we have questions for a few minutes, right?
I think we have a few minutes for Q&A, if folks have questions. And because of this light, we hardly can see, so somebody will have to stand up and wave. Any questions for either me, Kale, or yes? Well, we have ambitions. There's no public date yet. Yeah. And it's very interesting that you said a phone the size of a tablet, because that's an internal discussion we constantly have. Is a phone a large tablet? A tablet a large phone, or is it a laptop without a keyboard? As whether it's highly mobile or portable. And obviously, being phone people, we think it's a large phone. And so next session, next Tech Ed, we'll have interesting discussions on, I suppose, that, if you do come to it.
A comment, you can call it whatever you want.
Yeah.
But if you don't make it, you get a problem. You must make it.
I will let folks know. Thank you. Any other question? No, but you make a good point. We are also thinking very strongly about companion use cases. Not that the same app works across both. you know, you should be able to keep context across various devices, whether it is two phones or a small phone and a big phone, whichever way you want to define it, so that you can go seamlessly. If I'm reading a document and I go to another, it should start where it is, not have to open another document and get to the same point. And so we're really thinking about companion use cases, et cetera, so you make a valid point. Other questions? Yeah, in the back. I know the person who was recording had reminded me that I should repeat the questions that I didn't do in the first case. So the question is, will there be products released concurrently with Windows Phone 8? Yes, our goal is to keep pace with Windows Phone releases. So we will have products for various Windows Phone platforms. Dates, I don't have any confirmation. Any other questions? Yes.
Will the existing Lumia phones be updatable?
Okay, I was wondering how long it will take before that question comes up. The hardware is not upgradable. However, all the apps and features work. So I think people should understand this. Your 7.5 phones, all the apps and capabilities that are coming will work. In Windows Phone 8, there is an upgraded UI, which will work on Windows 7. We have an upgraded version called Windows 7.8 coming in, where a lot of the app and features that are on Windows Phone 8 will work. The hardware is not upgradable. Other questions? No other questions for Kalle or Luke? Okay. Great. Thank you.
Thank you.